Our scripture text is chapter 2 of Philippians, the writing of St. Paul. Brothers and sisters, if then there is any encouragement in Christ to be had, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the essence of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bend, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus the Christ is Lord, to the glory of God Father. Therefore, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed me, not only in my presence, but much more now in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work in you, enabling you both to will and to work for God's good pleasure. The word of the Lord. I didn't have any idea of where to go with this text this morning. But in this past week, listening to the things that are happening around the world that all of us are aware of, and hearing some of the conversations recorded by people who are suffering through the situations in Puerto Rico, and in Texas, and in Florida, and listening to the rhetoric that's going on about what should be done, what had to be done, what ought to be done, how it's good enough or it's not good enough, etc. And also this past week, 2 weeks, watching Ken Burns' documentary on the Vietnam War, which for me was a reliving of so much of my youth, so much of my formation in seminary, and actually so much of my formation as an adult. I came to this reading with a different understanding. In some ways, I think to celebrate and to talk about the Christ and Jesus as the Christ and Jesus being a human being who did not regard his importance with God or his union with God to be such that he exploited it or used it to somehow influence anybody else untowardly. And being found human, he chose to humble himself. In humbling himself, he recognized that the goal of his life, his human life, was to obey. And I go back to what I've said so many times. Obey, the word obey in Latin is combined with ob audire, which means to listen intently to. It doesn't mean do what I tell you to do. It means to listen, to open yourself to the possibility that what is being spoken to you may have a depth that you have yet to discover. And humility is not about being humiliated, which is what I grew up with, that somehow you are supposed to take whatever comes your way and smile and turn the other cheek and pretend that nothing is going on, and then walking around with this weight in your stomach that gets heavier and heavier as the years go on because you have no place to put it. It's called resentment. Humility is the truth about who I am. I am a humble person if I am with you who I am within myself. Otherwise, it's a false whatever, but it is not humility. Jesus lived a life of humility. Why is that so important? I think it's as important as talking about the Christ, because what Jesus did in his union with God, he listened intently to his relationship with God, and from that place, he could do nothing more than be who he really was. He was, in his very core, a compassionate person. You can't fake compassion. In a world where everything was politicized and the caste system was alive and well, and there were differences between the wealth and the poor, and there was no bridge between the two, Jesus was a compassionate, merciful, forgiving person. And in a world where your power was recognized as important, Jesus recognized the powerless and raised them up to a place of dignity, each one, as he encountered them wherever his journey took him. That is who I think we need to model ourselves after. I think more than the image of a Christ, that is a theological statement more than anything else. It is something biblical, it is something certainly intellectual, but being real, if we're going to be real, brothers and sisters, we have to remain human. And in your relationship and my relationship with God, we are called to live openly to that God as God speaks to us. And God speaks to every one of us. Hopefully we're open more and more and more to the possibility that what God is saying to us is something that we can take within ourselves and become part of our humility and live it in all the things that we say and do. Not because it's a religious requirement. Not because it's a good thing to do what Jesus did. Not because somebody says, oh, how wonderfully virtuous that person is, but because we cannot help except to be who we are. In listening to the programmings that I have been exposed to in the last few weeks, I was so struck yesterday by probably the most Christian thing I've heard outside of any church anywhere in the world. It's the most simplistic statement, but coming from the context in which it was made, spoke to me about what Jesus was talking about and what we must talk about. There was an interviewer down someplace in New York City in an area that's very highly Hispanic, and there was a huge truck, tractor trailer, being loaded with all kinds of food, water, etc., that was gathered by the neighborhood people. There were Black, there were Hispanic, there were Muslims, there were all kinds of variations of the humanity, all of them taking part in this one little effort to say for the people of New York, we care about what's going on down there for one reason. And the interviewer said to the man who was in charge, he said, are you surprised at the various numbers of people and the various races, etc., who are, you know, experienced here, gathered together working? And he said, what this shows is that there are no races and no creeds and nothing that we have on this earth. There is only one race. It's the human race. If I could encapsulate everything that Jesus did in his life without in any way trivializing the power of his momentous life with those people whose lives he touched, it is that. In a world where there were divisions and labels and all kinds of ramifications for your status in life, for your role, where you were stuck in society, what your religious belief was or was not. Jesus recognized all of us as human beings. We call our racial divides part of our culture. And we all know how it got to be where it is. And we all know how each one of us, in our own way perhaps, has supported that or fought against it. Maybe the world and the situation we're in right now is telling us to stop thinking in terms of all these divisions and finally begin to recognize that we are one race on this earth. And all of God's variations and all the possibilities that are there, we are one race of people. And no one of us would want to be on the other side of somebody's rejection. Raise your hands if you don't mind being rejected. Raise your hands if you don't mind being labeled. Anyone like to be excluded? Well, nobody else out there does either. Jesus spent his life, and I believe died, not because of some theological thing that we came up with to talk about the Christ. He lived his life open to God and spent his life living truly as he was as a human being and announced to the world what God intended, that we are all one. And so at the table from which we just fed ourselves, at that first table, he gathered with the people who liked him and who didn't, those who were going to betray him, and those who lied about him, those who had doubts about him, those who wanted to take his place when he was dead so they could be in charge, those who agreed with his policies, those who did not. They were all there. A microcosm of this table in our world today. And he said, "This is my body. This is my blood. This is what God intended, that all would be fed, that all would have a place, that all would belong." And we just got through singing, "One bread, one body, no matter who you are, we are part of one body." Really? Really? There are many heavy things that we can't even wrap our minds around, never mind fix. There are so many things that are happening in our world right now that hurt, that are discouraging, that are dark, that are really uncomfortable to even talk about. And Jesus says, as Paul says, be of one mind. Don't lose sight of the one thing that binds us together. Don't be distracted. I hope your leg is better. Come see us again. No, not at all. She has multiple breaks in her foot. Yeah, she's hurting. So you take my meaning. Brothers and sisters, we need to do what we do here in every facet of our lives, and not just here, to ensure that however we can touch the world outside, we can do that because of who we are in God, not because who we are as church, not because we're Christian and we're supposed to, not because Jesus said so, because we have God within us, working with us, talking with us, giving us what we need to be the presence in the world. May God bless us all. Amen. Holy One, the experiences that surrounds us this day, with the tragedies of humanity, the natural disasters and the humanly made disasters, all the things that affect the human family, and they are myriad. All those things should render us powerless or make us so desperate that we look perhaps elsewhere for solutions. But you remind us this day that the solution to the real problem has to do with the recognition of who we are as human beings. That's easy to say, and so very difficult to realize. And yet we believe that your Spirit moves us this day to somehow grab hold of that hard truth. Each one of us in our own way, to allow you to speak through us, to allow you to work through us, that we may be your hands and your feet, that we may be your voice and your ears, that somehow we may allow you to break out into the world through us. That is all that Jesus did. That is all that you ask of us. Help us in your Spirit to open ourselves to be vulnerable to you, that we may be willing to change as we hear you speak within us, and that each of us may reach out and touch the world with the grace that you put into our hands. That is why today, in World Communion Sunday, we especially raise our voices together with all the people of this earth, all the human family, those who have gone before us, those who have yet to come, and those all scattered all over the world. And in one voice, we ask you to hear our prayer as we call you God, our Father who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory forever.